Thank you, Clerk Mahler. I'm going to call the meeting to order. And can I get a motion to approve the April 13th minute?
So moved.
Second.
Second, thank you. We're going to go right into resolution number 124, setting a public hearing on proposed local law. Number three, electrical licensing, board licensing. What Kenny wants to do, if I could speak to him, is extend the grandfather clause another year. He has been postponing this, unless you want to talk about this right now.
So he's looking to postpone it another month?
I would assume so.
I'll make a motion to postpone a month.
And I'll second that motion.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Okay, we're going to go to 279, setting a public hearing on local law number 6 of 23, and that is amending the Code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 131, Vehicles of the Vehicles County, Article 1, Sustainable Green Fleet Policy.
I will second it.
First it.
So.
Okay. Discussion? Does the Deputy County Executive have anything to add? All in favor?
Aye.
Passed unanimously.
Thank you.
We're going to 310, next page, a local law amending Chapter 216, Coast County Human Rights in relation to gender expression.
Make a motion for discussion.
I will make a second on that.
Okay.
So I spoke with the sponsor of this. I have an issue with one of the definitions, since this is just setting a public hearing, I am okay with moving it forward with the understanding that the sponsor will sit down with me and with the attorneys to work out the language. Specifically, I'm concerned about compelled speech. The rest of it I absolutely agree with. I think we should be, you know, protecting people. I just don't ever want to do something that would give ammunition to somebody to violate First Amendment rights, the free speech.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I don't know a lot about it. There is a lot of LGBTQ language in the current human rights law. What is this building upon? And a lot of it's set forth by the state, so what is it? I'm sure it's building upon it in some way.
Go ahead, John.
I had a lot of conversation with the sponsors. So this is more about gender expression, so transgender clothing, makeup, things like that.
Drag,
and those are not currently covered in other.
So it's not. So you can be discriminated against or unfairly treated because you are transgender, but how? So, but if someone was to discriminate because of the clothes. So
currently, and it's under the, it's highlighted in there, there is already covered under State Regulation 9, which talks about gender identity, so you're protected under state for that, but it doesn't cover and it doesn't talk about the expression, so people who are, as the sponsor put it, who don't conform to standardized gender expressions, there's no protection for them currently. We would be the first potentially in the country to pass something of this.
But this is kind of a perception thing, but isn't that part of being trans is part of it is certainly your expression. Sometimes you don't know what someone is unless you know what they're identifying as. So if you're doing something to them because of clothing that is considered
there's according to the sponsor, and he says he's talked with our attorneys about this. Again, I don't.
Oh, I have no doubt that this language is probably nowhere else. What I'm saying is, can you give me a scenario where someone could get away with a human rights violation before this, and they can't get away with it now?
He's saying if a person was dressed in drag and you discriminated against them and you harassed them, there is no recourse. They could not go to a human rights commission over that.
What?
Because of their clothes. Now, if you're attacking their identity, apparently there's a difference in the way that the sponsor's perceiving this. It's the expression part. It's essentially about drag. It's about drag clothes. That's what it's about.
Is there an example of this happening where somebody was attacked by the clothes they wear as drag and they didn't and they weren't and there was a human rights commission somewhere in the country that said, you know what, there's a technicality here. You're attacking the clothes.
This is in response to laws, similar laws that have been passed in the other direction in Tennessee and in
Florida
and other states where they're essentially banning drag. That's what this is to preempt. Anybody
Florida is banning drag?
In kindergartens.
Yeah.
Kids aren't allowed to wear other gender.
I think what they're saying, and I don't want to step too far the line here, I think they're banning drag.
The library?
Story times in kindergarten.
And this will allow drag story time in kindergarten?
No.
I just want to understand. I'm not saying I'm not for it.
Yeah, I don't want to speak because I got to be honest, I have a hard time understanding. I understand the intent. I sort of lean in the direction that you're talking about, which is I think this is sort of already covered. I think this is more of getting rid of the gray area that it may not be covered and specifically calling out that you can't do it.
I would just hope that there could be one produced case of a human rights violation that wasn't processed by a human rights commission somewhere in the country that then could have been processed if this language was in here. Because if that can't be produced, then what are we doing here?
Go ahead.
I think he's making a distinction between gender identity and gender expression. Mm-hmm. So it's like if somebody
performing
was trans and went to work and they were discriminated against, that would be something that you could submit to the Human Rights Commission. But if somebody came to work in drag currently and was discriminated against, you could not bring that forward to the Human Rights Commission. But to your point, based on the discussion, I think this is preemptive. I don't think that he's doing it based on a case.
So you could make the argument that
100% preemptive.
Yeah.
He said flat out said to me, this is 100% preemptive. This is to prevent what they were doing down south, and to the executive's point. Let me just finish this part of it. So the part about he wants to preempt this, and the part about workplace. This is the discussion I had to step out for to have with him. Is if this is specific to workplace, and while that's where his mind was going, this is already covered under workplace violence, workplace harassment, and hostile work environment. So if this is to prevent something in the workplace, that is already out there and covered by New York State and by EEOC.
Yeah.
So this is preemptive.
So is this for school, like New York school reading time?
This would essentially cover everything.
So this would make it where we could advertise publicly I have a 3-year-old, so at her nursery school, they said, hey, we specifically want a drag queen to come read the 3-year-old's books. If a parent was like, why would we put drag queen on? Why would we specifically want like something associated with gender or sexual preference or something to read books? I wouldn't want someone to put heterosexual on there. I don't know, but I'm just playing devil's advocate. This is what we're after here. We want to make sure that a parent that took issue with that the advertisement they'd have no recourse.
That's what this
is about. I don't know.
I don't know. I think
do you have
that's
kids?
A question for the sponsor. I think
is the
Kev, you have kids?
Sponsor coming or you don't know?
He's not. He's not able to attend tonight.
With that said, I'm going to be a no unless the sponsor is here next month to maybe explain this to the committee. If I get a motion to postpone.
Well, I just will say that this is just to create a public hearing. This is not going to be to vote on it. This is just to have a public hearing. And like I said, the sentence that I'll just let's say it now, the sentence I had an issue with is under the definition section, which is a person's chosen name and pronoun are also common ways of expressing gender. To me, the way I interpret that or the way it could be interpreted later, although the sponsor said that this is not his intention, but I can interpret that as I am compelling by this law, we would compel people to use the person's chosen pronouns. And the example I gave to, so he gave the workplace example to me, and I gave him one in reverse. So he said, if a person wants to be called, their name is Stuart, but they want to be called Stu, and people continuously won't call them Stu, they're calling them Stuart, they're being harassed. And I said to him, well, that falls under workplace harassment, hostile work environment, that would be an EEOC, and that would be protected. It's already protected. I said, let me flip the script on you and give you the example in the opposite direction. I want to be referred to as God. According to this, if you're for compelling speech, you would have to refer to me, if that's my pronoun, you would have to do it. And that's where I get concerned. This is my concern, because if you look at Canada, they have done this. That there are laws now to compel speech, and I'm concerned about that. I'm very big on First Amendment rights, and I think from both sides, you got to be careful. And the only other concern I did have, which I did speak to the sponsor about, is the use of the police power. I'm getting concerned that we're using that, and it just, the more you use it or associate with it, the broader that power gets.
We've added police power? So that we can do that according to the state?
Yeah, so it's under, read through this, it's under here, it's just saying that it's under the... here it is. So section C, in enacting the chapter, the county is enacting and empower its citizens to provide local assurances for safeguarding of basic rights and freedoms and the prevention of unlawful acts of discrimination. The Ulster County Legislature finds that the adoption of this chapter is an appropriate exercise of the police power for the protection of public welfare, health, and peace of the people of the county. So it's referencing that this would be a use of the police power.
Should we talk to Juan about what he thinks of that part, because he's being brought into it? Look, if we don't quite understand what the law is, I think it does matter before you put it to the public, because the public's going to come and opine, and how are they supposed to opine if we're sitting here in the legislature and we're not even sure what this law actually does?
Okay. Thank you.
Just my thoughts.
Go ahead.
I apologize for being late. So I'm assuming we're on
310.
Yeah, 310, human rights, okay. And the question, where, can I just ask, and I'm sorry to ask to go back, where are you suggesting we don't understand, because we're adding one class of...
So I was asking if there's a case in the history of our country when it comes to a human rights commission not being able to protect someone against discrimination or abuse, that would have been able to if this language was in there. And I was told, no, it's preemptive, and most of the things that we can come up with are already protected by law, and the only thing that I've heard mentioned as an example of something that could potentially be taken action on is we could get police involved if New York State, or if there's a library in New York State that will forget the police part, even though it mentions police.
Yeah.
But the example was given in Florida. So if there's a library in New York State that wants to advertise and do drag story time for kindergartners, this would mean that any parent that took offense or had issue with advertising and specifically looking for someone that identifies a certain way, that they could then be brought up on human rights charges is the only example I've been given that could potentially come to play from this law.
Let's be fair. You brought up that example.
No, you said Florida.
No,
Kevin,
Florida,
I said Florida.
Tennessee.
What is happening in Florida? And you said...
I didn't bring that up because I don't know about anything about story time.
You said Florida.
I said Tennessee where laws exist. There's something related to this.
I didn't bring up Florida. This was brought up as an example.
We
can listen to the tape, but it was Florida was brought up.
I think those two laws specifically refer to what you're talking about, and I could be wrong on that too. I haven't been following it overly closely.
I think just to build off of that point, I don't know that you could file a human rights complaint. And I haven't talked to the sponsor about this, I'm just opining. I don't think you could file a human rights complaint against a parent for expressing their view. I would think that the relevant scenario would be if a library made a policy saying that they don't allow drag queen story hour, then somebody could file a complaint against the library.
But don't they set the story hour? So they'd be setting a policy that would disallow them to ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the library, I think, board that would voted. Be a relevant
example. So that's what this law is about?
No.
That's the only example that I've been given, that this law would change the potential of that. It's preemptive, which means by the sponsor is saying he does not know of a situation that this language would have ever helped in the history of human rights commissions. But in the future, he could see it helping that exact situation. I'm just trying to understand before I vote up or down what this law actually does is all I'm asking.
Go ahead, Tracy, then Phil.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think that... I think that you're focusing situationally on how this might be treated versus the fact that this expands protection to gender expression, which may not be in a situation like the story time you're talking about. It may be in life, just on the street, or in your regular everyday interactions.
All I was asking for was a hypothetical. It should be very easy to come up with a hypothetical for any law that you're making.
That's what we're struggling with. We can't come up with a scenario that this would actually.
We came up with a hypothetical about the electrical licensing law.
The example that was given to me by Mayor was about a workplace where somebody wants to be called Stu versus Stewart, and I, as I responded to him, was that that's already covered under workplace harassment and hostile work environments. Mm-hmm. So that's already covered under EEOC. That would already be protected. So the part, I don't know if you heard that, the other part of it was that if it's the definition section that I have a concern with, and I can speak with Peter about it, was the fact that, you know, if I want to be called God, that's my pronoun, and you don't use it by the definition, while that is not his intent, I don't ever think about what we passed today as with the people sitting at this table. I think about 5-10 years down the road, what could be weaponized later for against somebody, and could you interpret it that way? And I interpret it that way today, so somebody easily can interpret it that way.
He keeps using that exact example, which I think is somewhat Freudian.
But I'm going to go. Well, I'm trying to make the most the most extreme case here, and that's because. Unfortunately, that's how you get to extreme cases, is you slowly, and that's why I'm concerned about the mention of police power. It doesn't mean that the police would be involved. It's apparently under state law we have authority as a county for police power, but it doesn't mean police in that way.
I think that, I think that it has to do with the nuance and the distinction between these various classes. Gender expression, as it's defined here, is how a person publicly expresses or presents their gender, which can include a lot of things, but what it's prohibiting is not here, but it's in the original human rights law. It's all kinds of discrimination based on that.
I agree. I have no issue with the rest of it. It's that last sentence. And I spoke to Peter
about
it.
It's
just the last sentence. It's the only issue I had with it, and I told him that. And then so I walked in here tonight with the understanding that I would pass it tonight myself, you know, I would vote yes, because it's only for a public hearing, but him and I would work on it to make an amendment, mm-hmm. something that addresses my concern, but still offers the protections. The rest of it, I have no problem with. I think it's preemptive, and I sort of agree with
it. Again, in speaking hypothetically, I'm sorry, you know, I could imagine a circumstance where I'll go with the hypothetical now that I've been here for a couple minutes. Say a person's at their regular place of work, and they have stated that they prefer to be called whatever the name is, and they prefer to have this pronoun used. And someone repeatedly, it's generally not one time, someone repeatedly and regularly uses the opposite pronoun just to be...
Isn't that protected already?
Yeah. It's already covered under...
That's our point.
Which law? It's,
but, yes, many things are already covered by other laws, but when they become a human rights violation, not just a workforce harassment violation, it's a different level. There's a different means to recourse in this. There's a different way that you can handle that as well.
But you okay? So you want to be called something, and you're doing it. See, at workplace, there's a difference because you sort of have to be there.
Okay,
you
so don't say, don't use the workplace. I go to a local bar, and that's the place I normally go. And you know, the person who sits next to me just refuses to call me by the pronoun I want to be called. They just say it all the time. And I say, please don't call me that. Please call me this.
Freedom of speech. That's the issue I have. Go back to the extreme example of call me God. That's what you would be forcing.
You want to be able to call
on
the person that won't call him God?
Yeah. That's what that says.
I don't know. What is the call me God?
I'm being serious. My pronoun would be God.
Oh, you're making it.
I'm making up the extreme case, but that's what I'm saying. If you said, call me Stu, substitute the word Stu with any other name.
I think that there's a level to which there's a natural understanding about this, about we know what's actually happening in the real world. We know how people are actually being treated, and we know that people are experiencing basically human rights violations because of how they choose to express their gender.
I agree.
That's real. And so,
yeah.
You know, so, and so there's something different, like taking it to its extreme, I think somehow misses that this is a real issue for so many people on a daily basis in a way that has devastating consequences. So to offer not just the ability for recourse, which in the example you gave would probably not be honored. You know, if you went to it, like someone might not say, just because you're using the example of you and you're trying to make a point. I mean, I could use a hypothetical example that a presidential candidate used recently, and you go way off the rails. It's about the, I don't know. I'm not sure what that extreme example says, and the intersection of speech and protections, and also letting this community know that we see them.
I'm going to interrupt you guys and going back and forth over the same thing. Phil wanted to speak, Aaron wanted to speak, Deputy County Exec had her hand up, and then Joe wants to pine in.
Thank you. Don't have anything to add right now.
Aaron?
Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Chair. Very briefly, just the way I'm reading this in terms of what's being added, you know, proposed to be added by the sponsor, to gender expression to me, my understanding of, I think, what the intention of this is, in terms of especially talking about, you know, what the title of Drag's Not a Crime Act. Gender expression, in my eyes, what this refers to is kind of, as opposed to gender identity, gender expression to me comes to represent you're portraying something as a character or in a role. So, you know, there are plenty of drag performers that are straight and heterosexual men who are cisgender men but are portraying a role of a woman, so it wouldn't fall under gender identity. It would fall under gender expression. So I just see it as adding a protection for playing a role in either a drag performance, or this could even extend to theater or television, things of that nature, or other types of performances. I that's how I read it, in terms of just protecting for playing a role that might be of another gender than what you identify with in your everyday life.
Deputy County Exec.
I just wanted to add another hypothetical or interpretation based on my experience with the Human Rights Commission. I don't think that people generally put in complaints about interpersonal interactions, like a one person putting in a violation on somebody else because they didn't use their pronoun. It's usually more institutional. So another example besides workplace could be housing. We get a lot of housing discrimination complaints. So one protection that this would add is if somebody is straight, like Legislator Levine said, but they dress in drag from time to time, and then they are discriminated against when they try to get housing in an apartment, that person would be able to put in a complaint. Whereas now they wouldn't, unless they were gay or trans. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Legislator Maloney speak if he still wants to?
Yeah, so this has been my same standard since I became a legislator, is when we have a law that's being put on, especially if it's something that is pretty specific, unique, that's not always going to be used much, how is it going to be enforced? Oh, I have questions, but I always have the same question. Give me a hypothetical. When Jonathan put in conversion therapy ban for the youth, I was all for it. I asked him in a committee. Now, he couldn't speak to how the DA and the sheriff were going to be logistically involved because they needed to be. And then we went and got the DA. After I started questioning that, we went and got the DA and the sheriff. I think one of them wasn't even aware we were putting it in was a problem. We made them aware. They were both comfortable with how we were going to use them if need be. Jonathan had specific examples of where this happened and could continue to happen and where this would actually do something. I was a strong yes and was a part of the process. The other day, I'm very for clean water, and I've had the same discussion with you guys about giving me, and we weren't really able to come up yet with the correct language that gave us the ability to come up with legitimate hypothetical for the number five, resolution number five. So up until that point, I'm a no. And it's the same thing here, where as much as it's about protections, it's about recognizing a class of people that has been abused and not treated well in our country in the past, so the idea that we're going to strengthen something makes us feel good and we want to do it. But if we can't come up with even a hypothetical right now after 20 or 30 minutes, I think this thing needs a little more work.
Chair?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so I just found you several examples, and I'll use the ones that relate to the pronouns. I want to put it in context. We all know that there exists a New York State human rights law that any human rights violation in the county can be referred to the state. And the thinking at the time when we drafted this law and we put it in, had everything to do with one, acknowledging that the state process was very long and affording the opportunity for citizens of Ulster County to have a quicker resolution. We heard much public comment about being seen by us, by the legislature, by this county, and the law providing protections locally. So, and I say that because the example I'm about to use is from the existing New York State law, which protects this already under a whole class of gender definition. In terms of refusing to use an individual's requested name, pronoun, or title. Example one, a transgender woman, Anna Jones, has a medical appointment. She told the receptionist she uses the title Miss and fills out her intake paperwork accordingly. When it's time for her to see the doctor, the nurse calls out Mr. Jones. Deliberately failing or refusing to include or use a patient's requested name and self-reported gender by medical or other staff is unlawful, even if a patient's sex assigned at birth or gender transition may be recorded for the purposes of providing medical care. But they give another example. Allison was hired for a job at ABC organization and identifies as a woman. Her manager learns that Allison was assigned male at birth, which this is very similar to the example I gave earlier, and begins referring to her as he to other coworkers. Allison's manager says that he will use the correct pronouns if Allison shows proof of her identity. Refusing to use Allison's requested pronoun of she is harassing conduct, and employers may not require a person to provide information about their medical history, documents, etc., pronouns, and titles. In addition, a covered entity may not deliberately disclose a person's transgender status without consent. Now, I'm reading from New York State law, which recognizes that there's workplace code that harassment exists too. Like, we have a law that is duplicitous of the harassment because it's necessary, because it's another level of protection. It's the same thing we're doing here. We're providing another level of protection. We don't go through and say, well, that's covered by this, so we don't need to do it. We're saying that it's critical that this get understood as not just harassment, the way I might be harassed or you might be harassed, but it's a human rights violation and harassment. And it's totally following on something that already exists. But right now, we have a vacancy, an absence in our policy that's being addressed to allow for this this to be included and covered at a local level. It's covered at a state level. They could go to the state.
I think John, Legislator Erner had his hand up first.
Thanks. Another hypothetical example might be at a public pool, public swimming pool, where you wear, there's various attire that could be considered appropriate to wear at a pool. But this would allow a person to choose from a range of what is appropriate in general, regardless of what gender others might believe that they are, or so forth. It could be based, it doesn't have to even be based on their own gender identity. They could wear whatever they felt like, which might, I'm not sure if that's permitted under state law as it is. I know that top freedom has been a thing since Western New York State Court made a ruling sometime a decade or so ago, but in terms of, like, if I don't normally wear a bikini, but if I chose to go and wear a bikini at the New Paltz pool, I think this might protect me to do that in a way that the current law doesn't do that.
John, so I just want to be clear, for at least for myself, so there's no confusion here. I support that. But let's say for example, I support that. I think that's the kind of thing that I think this is covering. And I think it's a good example. I think the best example is the deputy county executive's example. That was perfect. That was a good example to give that explains what the intent is here. The issue, so if you want to say we take out that part, out this and say that we would cover anything that you could file a complaint with our Human Rights Commission for anything that's also a complaint for the state, I would have no issue with it, because the two examples you just gave, one is workplace, so I agree, in a workplace, well, you have a choice to work there or not, arguably you do, but you have to make a living. The other one is healthcare, a world I know very well. You don't want to have to worry about going to get care and be discriminated against. I'm talking about the scenario of you going to a bar and somebody doesn't want to use your pronoun. That's where I'm not willing to cross that line and compel. And while I'm using the extreme example, I would ask, where is the line then? So while I'm using the word God, give me where the line is for you then. How do we spell it out that we don't cross that line? Because that's where I'm concerned. Because there's more than a handful of gender identities out there and pronouns. So where is the line?
Well, it's in the rest of the law that's not here. This is the amendment. The law provides the context. This is just it's in the law. This is adding that to the rest of the law.
But in terms of pronouns, it doesn't specify pronouns.
Well, but saying this doesn't extend it to everywhere. It extends it to what's covered under the law.
No, I'm saying in the law itself, it doesn't list all the pronouns. Not here in the law itself.
I don't think the pronouns matter. I need to get the full law. I think what matters is where it's covered, which is in the law. Yeah,
at the very least, though, we're probably going to curtail the law enforcement aspect to this, or no?
Well, I just bring that up as a concern. I have that you reference it too often, and every time you do, you sort of add reaches towards that police power, and then that's how interpretation of law happens, is somebody interprets it a little bit further down the road, a little bit more at a time, and then it's a far skew from where it started.
Is anything that we're going to change substantive, so in other words, if it's not, then you could make the argument it's good enough to go to public comment, and even if we change something, it's not that big of a deal from what the public saw. But
Joe, we don't know if we're going to change it or not. You know, you can assume or hope that it gets changed. The sponsor's not here to agree to a change.
Yeah, and I will just say, I mean, it most certainly would get, I believe, enough from the sponsors to reach out to numerous people on this, so I think they would definitely get enough signatures to get this to the floor. I myself would even sign to get it to the floor because it's a public hearing. I think there's opportunity to work on some changes. I don't know that they're necessarily substantive, but I think
there's, you know, and even the sponsor agrees with me that that's not his intent. So that, I mean, sort of argued against the.
I want to see. Give me a moment. I just want to see if I can find the whole context of the law, because I think that's maybe that context is what's missing. Because this is providing amendments within the law. We're not seeing the whole law. This isn't providing the scope of the whole law.
Can I share something while you're looking that up?
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead. I mentioned in caucus the other night when a call came out from part of Northern Orange County about a drag story time that was going to face some folks who were unhappy about it. And so I went to demonstrate in favor of it, and it got kind of ugly. There's a lot of mean things said. Actually, I'm a little on both sides, I will admit. But I think that, to Chair Bartels' point, this is certainly something that we are seeing in our neighborhood. I mean, that was Orange County, but right across the line from our county in Montgomery. And I'm certain that this is going to show communities and folks who do express gender as they will that we're paying attention and want to support the right to do that.
I think what I've found is really just that it's the answer to your question about the applicability has to do with the intersection between this and New York State human rights law. It's never going to extend beyond what's covered by New York State human rights law. It says that what's protected, we're expanding the protections, but what's protected, you know, in the places it's protected, is covered by New York State law, which right now is.
According to Legislator Criswell, the gender expression is not in the state law.
Well,
it's gender identity. And we're adding a few hours with the definition, which is that last sentence is where my issue lies.
I would say that gender. No, I would say that gender.
Expression.
I mean, I'm inclined to say gender expression isn't in New York State law, but it's not in ours. That's what I think it is. I mean, when I look on this gender identity discrimination, there's a.
If you hit Control F and then type in the word express,
but
Control F, and then you'll find.
Yes, it's right here. Gender. Oh, I'm going to read to you from the New York State. Says gender defines gender identity or expression as a person's actual or perceived gender-related identity, appearance, behavior, expression, or other gender-related characteristic, regardless of the sex assigned to that person at birth, including, not limited to, the status of being transgender. So they adopt a broad, but we see what's happening in the country, and thus I think the need to be very explicit in our local law to include. To expand, to include this, to overtly include this. But again, it's just about the intersection with New York State law in terms of the circumstances in which it's effective, which is Deputy Executive Contreras' point.
But does the state law have a definition like this? Because that's the issue. I'm agreeing with you. Everything we're agreeing on except for that one sentence. That's what I said to Legislator Criswell. I agree with everything else in here. It's the last sentence there, the compelling of speech. If you wanted to say something to the effect of, you know, where speech becomes, if you're doing it for the purpose of, you know, harassing and inciting violence already is covered, but if you're doing it for the purpose of really trying to cause harm to somebody, even if it's emotional, you're doing it like a barrage, like, you know, making fun of somebody, then I don't know how you word that to be careful, but I could see the argument against it, but just refusing to use somebody's pronouns should not be a reason to bring a case to the Human Rights Commission. And that's what this sentence does. That's what I'm concerned about.
I'm not sure that it does. I mean, maybe Deputy Executive Contreras could speak to it more specifically, just in dealing with our existing human rights law, even
you know, it's within the context of certain regulated behavior.
And I'm looking at it now. I mean, it's not ours, but the state's. It's discriminatory practices in housing, discriminatory practices in...
So we can't be more restrictive? I thought we could. Than the state's.
No.
I think we're preempted to some degree. I
but
mean,
it
we
depends
had,
on how it's written.
Yeah, we had... This was vetted for many, many...
Plastic bags, if they said 5 cents, we could say another 5 cents.
Not anymore.
It depends on how it's written in the
enabling legislation.
And a lot of the, like with the drug drop-off box, a lot of the writing to every law finishes with a sentence in the state that basically says, ultimately, it's legally worded, but basically what they're saying is, we're the only ones that can do anything on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, and or you basically.
Well, if that's the case, then why have this in here at all?
Yeah. Well, we got to see the language.
If I can answer, yeah. I mean that is an easy answer. So that
it's
covered on a county level. So that at a county, they're already covered at the state level, but now they would also be covered at the county level.
But not this sentence. That's what I'm asking. I'm solely focused on one sentence.
Is that the last sentence of section four?
The definition, absolutely. That's the only thing I'm focused on. So any other comments I make, I'm agreeing with everything else in here. It's the one sentence. So if it already says it in the state law, then why do we need it here under the definition? And if it doesn't say the state law, do we have the authority to even make it more restrictive to include that? Again, I'm fine with going forward tonight, understanding that there's a public hearing and we still, and the sponsor committed to working on the language.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also okay going to public hearing, but I would say, and I'm looking right now for that, just to further talk about the intersection with the state, unlawful discriminatory practice includes only those practices specified in sections 296, 296A, 296C, 296D. Basically what I'm saying is like it's a limited, it may not apply in the bar example, but may apply in the housing, it does
so,
apply in the housing
okay,
example.
So then now that you found that, then the question again comes.
The next question
is, do we have the authority to become more restrictive to include this? And if we don't, then why have this at all?
Well, I don't think they're two separate questions. I don't think we're becoming more restrictive by including this, because that just putting that definition does
right.
not say where it's covered.
Let's just wait 1 month.
I think maybe
Pete
if we
here.
Can have the attorney look at this.
Pete and the attorney. Maybe.
I'm ready to postpone it.
I know that Chris has looked at it at length. I mean, I think he was a part of drafting it, so I don't know about that. Again, I don't know. I think we should hear what the public has to say, and then if we have to change it again, I have a feeling that this is a technical argument that's happening right now.
As opposed to substantive,
I agree.
Yeah, I'm trying because you're talking about not the definition strictly of expression, but the name and the pronoun.
Yep, just that last sentence. The rest of it, I have no issue.
And I'm trying to see if that's... But I did read the example that had to do with names and pronouns. Well, I don't know.
I'm not getting my point across, but I don't want to beat the horse here. So just like, let's change it to the world of zoning. So if the state says minimum zoning is 1 acre, well, towns have the authority to make it 5 acres. To me, this is sort of the same thing. The state says, here's where we're going to allow, this is where we're covering it. You can go into other territories with this, but here's where we're allowing it to go. And that's my question. Is that what is allowing us to do this? Can we now make it to where this would be, under our definition, under our law, this would be a violation, but under the state's, it currently is not.
Under the state's, it currently is. Under not, ours, it
not,
currently
not
is not.
This.
I read you the examples.
This sentence, not your examples relate to the first part of the paragraph.
Well, they had everything to do with the pronoun. and the name. They had everything to do with the name and the pronoun.
But those are two. But again, I would argue that those would be the workplace and healthcare I'm talking about in the
street. That's what I feel like is not being understood. The example that was given from the state was about the name and the pronoun. Yes, it was in the workplace and healthcare. Yes, it's covered in other aspects, but it's important to have it in human rights. But I think we need to remember that the state law and our law are limited where it's applicable. I don't have the full answer of where it's applicable right now. You'd have to read the state law. This references the state law. And yes, it's workplace. Yes, it's housing. Maybe it's not somebody on the street.
That's my concern. Use that word maybe.
I think it's not.
But that's what I want to find out. That's what I want to be sure of. But again, I'm prepared.
I know.
I'm prepared tonight to move forward for public hearing, but I want to know that answer before my final vote. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's as I mean, do you have an answer about the scope of even the state human rights law in terms of protections?
I do not, because I haven't been in depth in that way, but I don't know that we have the right to strengthen the state.
Oh, no, we're not. No, I'm not.
I think it has to match.
Is this going to hold up filling a bikini? Or... Then I want this now.
I don't want to stifle any more debate, but are you guys ready to vote on this?
To set the public hearing?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable putting it forward.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
What? Were there any issues with the previous? I'm sorry, I couldn't get in sooner. With the Green Fleet?
Yeah.
Did that
no. Oh, so we got one more. How could I forget? We're going to appoint somebody to the Ethics Committee.
Yes.
The County Executive's appointment, the Board of Ethics. Anna
Zaradnik,
PhD of Hurley, to the Ethics Board.
I will, I'll make the motion to discuss.
Okay.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, any new business? Old business? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Aye.
So, John.